The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everybody, Amanda Radke here with the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture in this country stronger. In recent months, you may have noticed that there's been a theme talking about property rights and battles against eminent domain and what it really means to have those constitutional rights intact and to be able to grow and build and dream. And it seems to be there's a common theme across the country where some of these basic tenets of what it means to be American are under attack. How would you feel if there was your farm and it was in your family for 175 years and a local township decided that through eminent domain, they were going to seize your property for an affordable housing project? That's exactly what is facing a family in New Jersey. And today to talk about this story is my guest, Brett Tolman. He's a former United States attorney for the District of Utah, the founder of the Tolman Group, a public policy law firm dedicated to holding federal, state, and local governments transparent and accountable. And he currently serves as the executive director of Right on Crime, a national criminal justice campaign to reduce crime, protect individual rights, and improve public safety. So, Brett, welcome to the show. I know we have so much to discuss, so I want to dive right in. First, for my South Dakota listeners, you've moved to South Dakota. So I guess tell us a little bit about where you're at, what you're doing, and the work you've done with some familiar faces in South Dakota that a lot of people might know by this point.
Well, Amanda, thanks for having me. It's an honor. We grew up in rural America, my wife and I, and we had horses. We started to see in Utah that way of life was getting more and more difficult. You know, governments grow, bureaucracies grow, and they make decisions and populations grow. So we were looking for somewhere to have, you know, more property and freedom. And we love riding horses and doing what we do. It's a way of life that's been important for me and for our children and now our six grandchildren. We took the plunge and moved not far from Mount Rushmore. And it's a small ranch. It's not a lot of property, but it's enough for us. We love it. Over the last year, I sort of devoted my practice to just basically battling government. And I've noticed a lot of farmers and ranchers, and I started to become aware of, I always knew there were battles over eminent domain, and I had fought some of those battles before, but they were few and far between. I think my eyes really opened through the Maud case in South Dakota here. And I saw what really was the use of government power, and, you know, an ego can get in the way. And when you have power, you want to use it. And I think that's what happened. It was all over a fight over a fence line and grazing rights that went back, you know, over 100 years. When I saw what they were going through and the fact that they were looking at a criminal prosecution, I had a colleague that indicated he might know them, the Mods, and I reached out immediately and said, hey, I'd love to represent you pro bono. I'd love to tell your story. And I'm connected with folks in Washington, D.C. So what do you think? And Charles and Heather were terrific. I got to meet them, had them over, and we talked about the strategy on the case. And I called up my friend Brooke Rollins, who's Secretary of Agriculture. And, you know, we've battled several battles together over the last 15 years, and we've become very close, mostly because I admire the passion. And I think she admires my passion for trying to right wrongs that come as a result of government abuse. And that was that's the long story of it. And it's got me sort of on my journey. And the only thing I regret, Matt, is I'm learning that there's more individuals and farmers and ranchers than we can keep up with in terms of trying to help.
I've heard people say, you know, my voice doesn't matter. I can't make a difference. And yet before we started recording, you said you heard about the mods on Instagram. So can you tell me kind of how that came to be? And I mean, really just highlights the power of social media.
That's exactly right. I'm not very good on Instagram, but I was watching, you know, some of the reels on Instagram, and I saw this one that highlighted the mod family and what they were going through. And it was compelling to me, so much so I asked a friend of mine if he happened to know who they were, and we got connected. But it was that, you know, small 2-3 minute reel that I said, I felt compelled. I needed to look into this, because it's hard to watch injustice happen. It's very hard. When the government is after you, you have no ability to fight, or it feels that way. And so it takes extraordinary effort to try to undo that. We were able to get that case dismissed. We're now working to hopefully avoid them trying to pursue a civil case. But the reality is, it's tougher and tougher to exercise your constitutional rights, especially if you say nothing and if you do nothing. And so if people start to stand up and talk about it and tell others about it, good things can happen.
Before we kind of move on to what's happening in New Jersey, I know in speaking with Heather, kind of as they traveled to DC and they had that press conference to know that the criminal charges had been dropped. I know at that time she had stressed, you know, I don't want people to think this is over for us. We still have a fight ahead. So I guess the message to the listeners, if they want to continue to support the mods and help amplify their story, I guess, what is the message that the public needs to know, and how can they help, or can they at all?
Yeah, they can. They can help. I mean, I'm aware of several members of the cabinet right now who are at an all-time high in terms of sensitivity to abuse of government. You know, whether it's Pam Bondi in the Department of Justice, whether it's Brooke Rollins, and they might seem like they're people that are too removed or too out of your ability to have a meaningful conversation, but it's not true. They have worked and they have devoted their careers and worked with people. And so say something, talk to your elected officials, talk to them, see who they know in the administration. Because if it's a federal issue, for example, there's never a better time to bring it up than right now. And there's folks like myself. And look, there's too many lawyers in the world. I don't really like lawyers, but I like good lawyers that are going to get good results. And so talk to some lawyers, reach out to folks, and, you know, hopefully that can help.
Yeah, you really never know what connection or what rock, if you start turning them over, might lead to something positive happening. And I do see sometimes the mainstream media can be disappointing, because a lot of these stories get buried. But that really is how these grassroots, you know, podcasters and influencers are able to say, hey, well, look what's going on in my backyard, and help get the attention of the right people.
Well, think about this. As a result, you know, we went back there with the mods, and really it was just a few phone calls and conversations. And pretty soon we had the right people and we had the criminal case dismissed. That is unbelievable, given how difficult it is to get that done. You know, prosecutors like to believe that their decisions are beyond reproach, and, you know, they fight tooth and nail to continue to pursue them. So when we got that dismissed, it was powerful. It was an incredible moment. But as a result of that, we became aware of a couple other cases. A fitness runner in Wyoming who ran on a trail that's been run on for decades with no signs that you're not supposed to run on it is now facing criminal prosecution in Wyoming, all because he ran on a trail that hundreds and thousands of people have run on before. But for this one instance, they decided they were going to send a message and try to prosecute someone with no criminal history, didn't know it was a violation of the law, didn't have criminal intent, was looking at a federal, you know, criminal prosecution. And that all came because somebody watched what happened with the mods and then referred that to me. And there are others. I'd like to be able to help all of them. That's the biggest disappointment, is not being able to help all of them. But right now, let's help as many as we can.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus. With its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract, BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
I appreciate your heart of service, and it's great to see people like you stepping in to help the little guy that more than likely doesn't have the money to fight right. Some huge battles. And one of those that you're involved with is, and it's amazing because my show is kind of focused on property rights and eminent domain battles, because there was a Green New Deal carbon pipeline in my backyard. It's been a 4-year fight. And so, you know, we've had some great success in pushing back and fighting, but I've received hundreds of emails about this family in New Jersey, owned by brothers Christopher and Andy Henry. It's been in the farm for 175 years, and it's gotten the attention now of the Trump administration. Can you tell us what is going on with this farm?
Yeah, this is a crazy story. And it's even crazier when you think about the dynamic that's going on with this, you know, this city that wants to take the land. And that's what it is. It's a pure taking. So the farm itself is in an area that, I guess I would describe it as industrial in a lot of ways, a lot of warehouses and things of that nature. And really shouldn't be an area where you would immediately think, well, that's somewhere that we just have to have. We got to take that farm. But you think, okay, so why did it happen?
Sure.
Well, when you consider what's really going on here, it's outrageous. You have a 175-year-old farm that is embraced by the community, by both liberals, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats. It doesn't matter. It is beloved by the community. It's overwhelmingly supported. And there's a mandate in this area that New Jersey has to build a certain number of affordable housing units. The thing that they're not talking about is they have 10 years to identify a suitable piece of property. And they're somehow rushing to push this eminent domain through and to take this property in order to repurpose it for affordable housing. So on top of that, you have developers who have property, one in which is perfectly suited for affordable housing, does not have anything on it, and they could immediately begin to develop. That's not the property they're seeking. They're seeking this farm. And they're seeking the farm. Nobody knows, because it doesn't seem consistent with where you'd want affordable housing, because all you have is an industrialization that's gone on around the farm. So it's a nice offset to that industrialized area to have the farm, but it would not be a great location for anybody to live. So heads are scratched and people are outraged at this, but you know, they've taken the step. The city has taken this first step and voted that the plan is going to be taking a major portion of this farm in order to repurpose it for affordable housing. So now what we're seeing is really the most exciting part of it, and that is the coming together of many people on both sides of the political aisle, but certainly led by the Trump administration, by Brooke Rollins, who wants to protect farmers and ranchers out there, and then others that are coming to help. Include senators in the United States Senate. It includes members of the community. It includes lawyers devoting and dedicating their time pro bono to fight this. So it will be fought on the political side, in the public, you know, perception side, but also on the legal side. And I think in the end, we will hopefully save this farm.
Yeah, Brooke Rollins, she said on X last week, she says, "We're looking into this situation immediately. We must protect family farms at all costs, whether the Mauds, the Henrys, or others whom we will soon announce, the Biden-style government takeover of our family farms is over. While this particular case is a city eminent domain issue, we at the USDA are exploring every legal option to help. And so I guess that begs the question, because I've been studying eminent domain quite a bit, and it's almost like we have to have a new discussion of what is an appropriate use of eminent domain, and have government entities kind of abused that or taken the definition and distorted it into things that aren't really an appropriate application of, you know, that Fifth Amendment takings clause.
Yeah, it's sadly the way the law is and has developed in this area, as you know more than most people in the country. If you get to the point where you're actually fighting on the merits of the eminent domain, it's typically the citizens that lose. You know, the power is there, and it's so broad how they can describe what the purpose is that justifies the taking, that we often lose that battle, and we have been slowly losing ground since it's been used. So for me, what I'd love to see is cases like this case, the New Jersey farm case, and others where eminent domain is being used, to send the right message to Congress to rein in the use of eminent domain. In my view, you should only be able to do it is if there is no viable option. And is there a place for eminent domain? There might be, but the way that it's being wielded now and today, it's a rule of convenience rather than a rule of necessity. And I want to see that change.
I've talked about it on the show, but the Kelo versus New London case, where it was economic development for a private corporation and they seized the homes and then never even built anything. And You know, I don't think the Supreme Court ruled properly in that case, but it does beg the question, does nothing good change until the Supreme Court overturns that? Or are there things that can be done on a local state level that would kind of clearly define an appropriate eminent domain use?
Look, I think you can pass laws that narrow and restrict government power at the state and local level. So that can be done. Eminent domain can be exercised by state and by federal cases. And it is challenging because the federal side is what dictates, right? So you have the case law develops mostly on the federal side, and then the Supreme Court weighs in, and then that's the law of the land. Mm-hmm. But we can, as communities, come together and we can put in greater restrictions on government, and that would not run afoul of the Supreme Court's decisions. We need leaders at the state and local level that understand that and also have a position on eminent domain. Most of the time, if you talk to somebody that's running for a county commission or some position, you know, local or state position, they haven't thought about eminent domain. And right. So we need them to start thinking about it. And then at the federal level, I believe we need changes. If the Congress understood and appreciated what was happening, and it became an issue that they hear about from their constituents enough, you're going to see a bill that's introduced that will rein in eminent domain. And, you know, I'm certainly going to be reaching out to several of senators that I'm close to and ask them to do that.
I think that's a great call to action for all the listeners as well. If we express that this is an interest that we have, that we want Congress to take action on, we've got to communicate it. We've got to all communicate it, not just a few. And so, you know, looking closely at this case in New Jersey, I've seen some clips from local meetings, and it seems like there's a lot of things the community is doing right, just from my point of view, that people are gathering together, they're showing up to the meetings, they're standing up for one of their own. I think I even saw that they're selling some cow stuffed animals to raise money. What are you seeing that they're doing right that maybe could be good advice for other people who might be facing similar battles in their own communities?
I will tell you, the power of social media is immense right now. You have the ability to reach people. I've seen from the president on down, I've seen them react to some social media and engage on it. So don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to get out there and send the messages. And I think that community is doing it very well. I love to see how heavily attended these meetings are, and they're opposed. And look, this is going to be a wake-up call for bureaucracies across the country. What this administration wants is, you've seen it from whether it's DOGE and the investigations they're doing, or whether it's just in their own internal reviews of cases and of situations. You're seeing a group of people that are leading in the most powerful agencies across the country, trying to take an America First approach to it, and a citizens' rights matter approach to that position. And that has not been the case. It was not the case under Biden, and it has not been the case for many presidents and their administrations, where they grew government and they forgot that the government is there to serve the people, not the other way around.
And I feel in conversations I've had with people, it's almost like, you know, we've grown apathetic, and then we've felt like the government is so big, we can't fight back or make a difference in a way. And then I also think there's a lack of understanding of what your constitutional rights are as an individual. And, you know, you get the government you show up for. And so being engaged in the process is so important. But, you know, I guess putting on your lawyer's hat, and not that you took it off, but but say someone, you know, in South Dakota, this company that we fought, there was 160 landowners that were facing condemnation through eminent domain. And they had to learn really the hard way of what happens when you get that letter in the mail and it's saying, hey, this project or whatever's coming through. I guess, what advice would you have to a landowner or a homeowner that gets a letter or some contact like that? From a lawyer's perspective, what are the good next critical steps in, you know, advocating for your best interests?
Well, it's very difficult when there is a massive operation that's coming through and it's got momentum and you see, you know, hundreds of landowners. But communicating and using social media to get on the same page and to know that there's more than just yourself. Oftentimes, those landowners can come together. They can afford more and better lawyers to fight. They can also start to implement a legislative reaction, you know, approach to what's going on. There's so many things you can do if you start to coordinate. It's almost as though those that want to use power in the government, they're counting on you not working together. They're counting on you being isolated and single little battles as opposed to giant wars. Mm-hmm. And if you can turn these fights into much bigger fights, which is why you see Brooke Rollins is saying, this is not just about the mods and it's not just about New Jersey. This is going to be about all of those farms and ranchers. And we want to hear from everyone. And we're going to start lining up all of these individuals to start reining in government abuse. And her world, it's protecting ranchers and farms. But in, you know, the Department of Interior, it may be the preservation of our rights as citizens to not have the government, you know, overreach in many different areas. But it all comes down to, I mean, I think about how big government is, and it can feel daunting if you feel like you're fighting it alone. So my advice would be, do what you can to connect with others that are fighting the same fight, work together. And don't be afraid to be the little vocal person that eventually has a very loud microphone. And that's what happened with the mods, and I think it will continue to happen.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the US of A, Real Tough is family owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtuff.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
courage begets courage too. And I think yes. if one person is willing to stand up and then pretty soon neighbors are locking arms. I know when this eminent domain battle came to my backyard, I did feel very much alone. And you thought, does anybody else care? And it turns out a lot of people cared. And you became very powerful as a group, even though none of us had ever testified on bills before, or we had never gone to our state capitol. And now, you know, some amazing things have happened. But yeah, the calls I'm getting across the country, heck, I could give you a dozen more of different cases that, you know, people are looking to what's happened in South Dakota and saying, well, how do we fight back? Thinking of government overreach, I remember the years I was writing for the Tri-State Livestock News, which of course Heather writes for as well, but that was the big Waters of the U.S. that was going on. And I was hearing from little old ladies that were being, you know, fined by the day and, you know, racking up these huge debts and having to fight the federal government on, you know, maybe a mud puddle in their backyard. And it's that government overreach where it's gotten so oppressive in a lot of ways. And it's quite devastating to everyday Americans at times. Do you think the tide is turning with the Trump administration rolling back some of this abuse? I mean, I know you talked to Brooke. I guess maybe is there some hope coming out in the next, you know, 4 years that we can look forward to a little relief?
Yes, there is an effort in every member of the cabinet has been instructed by the president, by the White House, that he wants them to find waste, fraud, and abuse. He wants them to find in under abuse. He wants them to see, you know, and seek out and find those instances in which abuse of power is been, you know, is apparent. You know of dozens and hundreds of different cases. I know of them. So they're inundated, but the beauty is they're passionate about it. There's not one person that's been given that assignment that is shirking that responsibility. And in fact, they are embracing it. I think we all endured what was, you know, the height of oppressive government as we came through the pandemic and all the rules that were placed on us. And then we saw the abuse and we saw the targeting and the weaponization of our laws against conservatives, against religious people, against pro-life. It didn't matter if you didn't believe or view the world the same as those in power, you got targeted from these agencies. I think that wake-up call is not just in the president himself. I think it's in all of us. And I think it's from the local leaders to the national leaders and to this president. And so if we'll listen and we'll get involved, and now is the time for us to do that, we will join forces with secretaries in the cabinet that are committed to change their organizations. I mean, think about what we have in Secretary of Education. She is going to, in essence, she is going to dismantle the Federal Department of Education because all it is in essence, abuse, waste, and fraud. And so that's not someone that wants to just hang on to power. That's someone that's willing to destroy something that has become abusive through power.
Speaking of the Department of Education, I was just in D.C. a few weeks ago, and you kind of forget, but the Department of Education building is massive, like shocking, huge. And you're like, there's no students being taught here.
No. Like,
bureaucracy on crack, really. It's crazy. And I know people get really defensive about that because they want to protect, you know, their schools. But meantime, you know, teachers can barely get the supplies to have the crayons and markers and paper they need in their classrooms. And then you've got gigantic deal in DC. It was quite the reminder. And so when you see these updates coming from the Trump administration, you're like, okay, yeah, we're going to rein in some of this craziness.
Think about the Department of Justice. In 1780 something, you know, the Attorney General that's when it first came into existence. And eventually it would have a staff of a few attorneys, a few people working in it. And it lasted that way for over 100 years. And then as we exploded our laws, and we went from roughly 4,000 to 5,000 criminal laws during the Reagan era to now we have over 350,000 criminal laws and regulations. And we have a Department of Justice that now has over 100,000 people working in it. when you grow government like that, and you grow the laws that they can use, and that you do it without transparency or without accountability, you've created a government that is going to target its citizens rather than protect its citizens. And that's what we did in every single agency.
You know, I had found a testimony you had written. It was May 7th, dated this year, to the U.S. House Judiciary Committee. And I'm glad you brought up those numbers. And I wanted to share a few more that I pulled from that testimony. You said, as of 2018, the U.S. code encompassed 54 volumes and approximately 60,000 pages. Over the last decade, Congress has adopted around 300 new laws each session. Federal agencies have been busy too. When the Federal Register began in 1936, it was 16 pages long. Now adds more than, is this right? 70,000 new pages each year.
Yes. That is why we're starting to feel that closing in by the government, because we're living, in essence, a police state, a state in which they can regulate every aspect of our lives. And that's why when Trump came in the first term, you remember he said, if you pass one regulation, you got to get rid of two. Mm-hmm. He's now saying, if you pass one, you got to get rid of, I think it's 10, I think that he's identifying. So he's not allowing that to happen, but that deregulation has to occur, and massive changes have to happen. You've got to pull power away and money away from these agencies, because they just love passing new rules. And imagine if you and I, who are in this world and we're looking at it and we're starting to become aware, imagine how unaware an individual is that, you know, works in a field that doesn't allow them to understand what's happening in their government. They believe that their government has their best interests at heart. Nothing could be further from the truth. We live in essence, a police state, and we're not far off. If we don't change it now, we'll never get the country back.
Well, it's amazing. You know, we got angry in our early historical years over a tax on tea, and now we're taxed to death. And we're
to death.
We've become literally just, you know, it's just how it is. And yeah, it's amazing. You also write in this talking about just the over incarceration rate of this police state we live under. And it stuck out to me because right now, South Dakota legislators are fighting over a proposed, you know, $2 billion prison that, I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand. It's like, what is wrong in society where we're putting more people in jail instead of promoting yeah. good and productive members of society? And I think you have a point.
Absolutely right.
There's lawfare in this country.
Yes. And that's what they're using. You know, when you try to take away power from the government, the most power they had is the power to take away your liberty, right? To throw you in jail. And as they've expanded that, they start to view everything. Right now, people will be shocked, but there's so many criminal laws out there that don't have what's called mens rea in it, meaning that it doesn't articulate what the criminal intent has to be in order to be convicted of it. And that should scare everyone, because the criminal law is only supposed to be used when there is criminal intent. Otherwise, it could be a civil penalty or a fine, or maybe, you know, there's something else, but we've turned everything into a criminal act. And so you get people like the Mods who had no criminal intent whatsoever. They get charged and threatened and told that they're going to go to prison and they need to make arrangements for where their children are going to go and be raised. I mean, that's what happened in that case. And that's why we have to continue this fight.
Yeah, it's that was such a slap in the face, too, to see this great young couple trying to make a go in ranch and working hard, taking their beef and their pork to the farmer's yep. market and homeschooling their kids and just trying to do everything right. And if they're really, you know, if that fence line needed to be moved, well, that could have been done in an afternoon. And to face criminal penalties yeah. in jail time and losing your children, you know, I'm thankful of the outcome. And I know their fight's not over, but the fact that they even had to go through it at all, the fact that those kids had to go yes. through that at all, that shouldn't happen in the United States of America. It just shouldn't.
Yeah. And it's happening everywhere, and it's happening in more often than people think. And, you know, there was a famous line by Stalin that said, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. And that's where we've gotten to. I was so confident as a federal prosecutor that, you know, you put me in somebody's office or in their bank accounts or anywhere else, that there's so many potential crimes out there that we could charge. You know, one study suggests that people commit 3 felonies per day. That's how many, you know, without knowing it. That's the state that we live in right now. And so if they want to get you, like they did with President Trump, you can see they charged him in multiple cases with crimes, even though there was no criminal intent. And, you know, fortunately, he was able to get through that. But not everybody has the resources or the ability to get through it like he did. And the mods were in that situation. And there's more out there, and we're aware of many of them, and we're working to try to help them.
Well, I appreciate all the work you do. And if folks, I guess if they want to follow along with your work, is there a place that they can land? Also, is there a place that we can follow along with what's going on in New Jersey and support this family?
Yeah, absolutely. If you look me up on X or Twitter, Tolman Brett, then I usually try to post a lot of the updates on that. But also go to rightoncrime.com. And we try to highlight a lot of this work, and we try to highlight different cases and just get involved, reach out. I'm happy to direct people and help them. There's also, you know, there's an army of lawyers that care about trying to help people that feel stuck and in trouble. There's more than I can keep up with, more than I can help, but hopefully we'll get more lawyers willing to step up and fight for, you know, those that can't fight for themselves. I mean, that's why many of us became lawyers in the first place. So, you know, for the time is now to try to do it.
Well, I appreciate everything you do. And I would say, yeah, you probably are in the minority of lawyers who have that intent, but that's just kind of a stereotype, I think. We will be watching this New Jersey case closely, and I thank you for the time, and hopefully we will have good news in that regard coming out very soon.
Thank you, Amanda, for everything you're doing. Appreciate it.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the heart of rural America.